This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hold on, one second. It's picking up my mic for whatever reason. Where's your headphones?
Okay, can you hear me now? Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. Absolutely no sound. What about now? This. All right. Bismillah. Default okay, or Zoom? Okay. Salaam alaikum. How is it now? Yes? Are we good? Salaam alaikum. It's being resolved right away. All right. Good. Alhamdulillah. I think you moved this a little bit. Okay. All right. Jazakallah khairan for your patience. You all have, mashallah, prophetic patience. Well, I can do it without Abdelmajid.
I don't know what happened. The mic got unplugged completely from the back.
It's okay. Inshallah, this is in the way. So, mashallah, behind the scenes, my husband is working very hard, Abdelmajid. So, whenever you make dua, make sure you include my husband because none of this would have been possible without his support. All right. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah. Welcome to a mindful Ramadan, leaving a legacy. We're so happy you were able to make it and made it throughout the season, mashallah. You know, with internal bleeding, it's very dangerous because it's invisible. And if you don't tend to it, you find that a person can actually, they can lose their life because they haven't tended to the emotional, to the internal bleeding. Same thing with internal bleeding. If you have emotional bleeding, what ends up happening is that you don't recognize it, you're not seeing it, but slowly your spirit, your soul, your relationship, everything is dying. So we really need to see, what is this all about? We're going to start with our PowerPoint, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. God bless you too. And we are ready to go, inshallah. All right. So what is emotional maturity? We all need emotional maturity. If we have emotional maturity, we won't be bleeding on others, okay? So let's see, what is this all about? And this is from one of the lessons on my mentorship program, the Mindful Hearts Academy. And this is where I help women, empower women to gain more insight, to gain more emotional stability and emotional intelligence. So emotional mature person, how can we get the PowerPoint to be larger? So can we make it large screen? All right. Yes. All right. Thank you. That's better. So emotionally mature person, they know how to cope with their emotions, okay, and the emotions of other. They are in tune. They are understanding themselves and they understand others. And what you have to recognize is that, you know, with emotional maturity, it's something that can be learned. These are skills that you can learn. And a lot of times people have not had the examples. They were not raised by emotionally mature people. If someone was raised by a person who always yelled and smacked and, you know, handled things violently, then you don't get to practice. You don't get to learn. So it is very important to make sure that these are lessons that we are learning, that you can learn. Sister Nadia saying this was an amazing session, so much self-discovery in the Mindful Hearts Academy, alhamdulillah. So because we were not taught and we didn't have the example, many people do not gain that emotional maturity. And another sign of emotional maturity is being emotionally stable, right? People have this tendency to be really high and then really low and then really high. So it's a lot of moodiness, right? You find that a person, even throughout the day, they tend to be extremely moody, right? So we want to like try to get to a point where we are emotionally stable. We're not having those peaks and the drops, right? So what are some of the characteristics of an emotionally mature person? You know, in all the sessions I've done over the past 25 years, I've had the privilege and honor, alhamdulillah, of working with thousands of people worldwide. And what I have seen, one of the number one reasons for problems in relationships, whether it's in marriages, whether it's in parenting, in whatever relationship you can think of, or even personal problem, it has been because of lacking maturity, right? So it's immaturity, not being an adult. And most people have not, like I said, have not had that training. So we're going to talk about what are some of the characteristics. Self-awareness. You have to know yourself. You have to really prioritize getting to understand where you are coming from, where are these emotions coming from,
One of the things I'm so grateful for when I chose to do psychology, and it's been my passion for over 30 years of studying the human psyche, understanding the emotions, understanding where's all this coming from. And when you piece the puzzles together, it gives you such clarity. It makes you understand yourself. And as you understand yourself, you're better able to understand others. So that self-awareness is so critical. That's what we do. We explore on the Mindful Hearts Academy. It's all about self-exploration, understanding, and then finding your strengths and weaknesses to be able to navigate life better. The second characteristic is accountability. See, in Islam, one of the most important aspects of our deen, which keeps us on track, is knowing that we're going to be accountable. One day we're going to stand in the court of Allah and we're going to have to answer for every backbiting that we did, for every time we oppressed, every time we stole. There is a lot of different ways of stealing. You can steal other people's work, you can steal things, and whether it's at work or in your home, whatever it is, you are going to have to account for what you have said and done, whether you hurt someone's feelings or whether you hurt someone's image. And imagine on that day when you go, people can go with mountains full of good deeds. And you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is the bankrupt person? And the Sahaba said, the bankrupt person is a person who has no money. He said, no, the bankrupt person is the person who shows up on the day of judgment with mountain full of good deeds, the prayer, the fasting, the qiyam, all the good deeds, the charity. But then because they hurt people, because they took their rights, because they were oppressive to their family members or to people in the community, one by one, what ends up happening is that there's going to be accountability. You're going to have to take their bad deeds, right? You're going to have to pay. And if you can't, what ends up happening is that a person will get rid of all their good deeds and then they start taking the bad deeds of other people. How unfortunate. Like right now, we're fasting right now. We've been doing our qiyam. We've been reading the Quran. Imagine passing that away, giving it away to who? To people that you probably dislike. So we got to really guard ourselves and know that accountability is what keeps people on track and saying, you know what? No matter what, I'm not going to stoop down to that because I know that there's going to be a day that I'm going to be held accountable. Then there is about self-control. Self-control is a result of knowing there's going to be accountability. I'm not going to just go around and say whatever I want about people. I'm not going to like ruin people's reputation. I'm not going to go and take out my anger with violence because I know, again, there's going to be accountability and I want to control myself. The humility, what an important characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied, and he encouraged us to have that humility, because if we have a sense of arrogance, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about the person who has a mustard seed? How many of you have seen a mustard seed? It's pretty small, okay? Anyone who has a mustard seed of arrogance in their heart, what happens? They're not even going to be able to smell Jannah. And many of us, I would say all of us, have some level of arrogance that we need to work on. Some level, right? Someone could be arrogant about their, about the wealth they have acquired. Some, it could be about their intelligence. Some could be about their heritage or their culture or whatever it is. And we need to constantly work on ourselves and to be more humble. Self-acceptance. What is self-acceptance is all about? Now, this is an area where many women struggle with. They struggle with their sense of not being good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, right? I'm sure a lot of men may have some feelings of inadequacies as well. And it's about coming to terms with your past, coming to terms with your abilities, coming to terms with so many things that are in your life. And that's self-acceptance. Once you accept yourself, and that doesn't mean, oh, I'm just going to be mediocre, or acceptance means I give up. No, it's a matter of saying, okay, I know where I am. So, whenever you want to set the GPS, first you have to know your destination, but also where are you starting off? And that really helps in getting to know who you are, where you're at right now, in order to work towards improvement. Gratitude. right? If you are grateful, Allah will increase it. So showing that gratitude, and when you have that feeling of, you know what, we're so blessed, you wake up in the morning and you have a, you know, this excitement for life. And most people lack that. Most people, as soon as they open up their eyes, they're thinking, oh no, it's Monday. Oh no, the kids, oh, the work, the what responsibilities, rather than thinking that this is the most amazing gift in the world, to be able to open up your eyes, you're breathing, you're healthy, you have a roof over your head, you have so many blessings. We all have so many blessings. And yet, how dare we? How are we even capable of whining and complaining when there's so many blessings? And when you start your day with that feeling of gratitude, what ends up happening is that you instantly feel better. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Another is, it is about, can we make the screen bigger? If we can make it bigger and make me smaller. There we go. All right. So then it's about having compassion. You know, this is one of the traits that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied, regardless, even better. Thank you. All right. So regardless of how he was treated, he had compassion. And it was that compassion that penetrated the hearts of even his enemy. And they embraced Islam through his compassion, through his love. And many times, as a person becomes more and more religious, they become more and more judgmental. They become more and more, maybe sometimes harsh. So we have to make sure that compassion is what we are, you know, we are spreading. And Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you had been harsh, the people would have run away. So we need to embody this compassion to our spouse, to our children, first and foremost. When we show harshness, when we are mean, when we are negligent, we are pushing them away from us and pushing them away from Islam. So we have to have compassion in our hearts. Being other-centered, right? Sometimes individuals that are emotionally mature, they're more considerate. They're aware of the people around them. There are individuals who are very self-absorbed. They don't see beyond themselves. So when you're other-centered in that you are considerate, you care about people, you look out for them, you try to help them. And then being open-minded, where you're not just, it's not just black and white. Oh, you do this, you're blacklisted. Many people, unfortunately, are like this. We are living in that cancel culture. And what ends up happening is that when one person does something wrong, or you deem it as being inadequate, or you find, oh, you know, his beard is not long enough. Oh, she wears a colorful hijab. Oh, she celebrates a birthday. He does whatever it is. And you just blacklist the person. This is not brotherhood or sisterhood. This is not what Allah wanted us to experience. It's not about going around and finding clones of yourself, right? Spiritual clones. You look. This one's extremist. This one's a loser. This one is, you know, too relaxed. And when you find someone who is exactly like you, then you're like, oh, this person, they're perfect. This is the person, right? We need to have that compassion in our hearts. We need to be able to be not just tolerant. I feel like tolerant is a word you're just tolerating, right? But it's this idea of people are at different stages of their iman. People are at different stages of understanding. And for us to have that sense of diplomacy and that understanding that we need to all be working together and helping one another. So that is being open-minded, okay? Then the emotionally immature people, okay? Emotionally immature, they feel like the world revolves around them. It's all about me, 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 me. They're only thinking about themselves, and they're not able to have stable relationships. If you see that individuals who are emotionally immature, they have basically a trail of broken relationships, because there's always this up and down moodiness. And so you find that the relationships are not stable and it is constant moodiness. So if you find that you can relate to any of these characteristics. What I always say is it's good to recognize that. It's good to recognize if you are more towards the emotionally immature, and Allah has you in this for a reason. You guys, you could be sleeping. You could be doing so many things right now, but you're here. You're here for a reason. You're meant to listen to this. You're meant to get this message. And maybe in your du'as, the du'as that you've been making during Ramadan has been, Ya Allah, guide me. Ya Allah, help me. Help me with my relationship. Well, guess what? Being emotionally mature will help you in every aspect of life. As a parent, as a spouse, as a successful person in society, dealing with the community. So this could be the message that you have been, inshallah, praying for, and it will guide your heart. So what are the characteristics of emotionally immature people? First of all, they're egocentric. Everything is about, again, me, 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 right? So whatever topic comes up, it comes back to them, and it's only looking at things from their perspective, blaming others, right? Never seeing any fault within themselves. So it's always, it's my spouse, my kids, the society, the community, the masjid, the whatever. They're always blaming others and never looking within. So if you find that you're never taking responsibility, and you can really tell when, and this is connected to another one that we're going to get into, the lack of conflict resolution. When you bring up, like, this bothers me, this went wrong, there is some kind of criticism, and there's immediate gaslighting, right? It's like, well, I did this because you did this, or never owning a problem, never owning that you did anything wrong because everyone else to blame. Then it's about being dependent on others. Someone who is emotionally immature, they're dependent. They're always needy of other people. And it just starts feeling very like clingy, right? Then some have, they are control freaks. We're going to use that, okay? The control freaks, where there is this tendency of wanting to micromanage, wanting to control their spouse, their children, anyone that they are with, and they are drama queens, or we should say also drama kings, drama queens, where there, you know, there are some people, and it's very sad that because they grew up in a very dysfunctional household, and there was a lot of chaos, and there is a lot of fighting, and maybe neglect, what ends up happening is that they actually become quite addicted to this environment. And this is all subconscious. They don't realize it. And so they are constantly recreating what is familiar to them. So you find that many people live off of that drama. They lack conflict resolution. You know, I would safely say probably over 90% of people don't have conflict resolution skills. What do? They either explode when something goes wrong, or they cut off. That's the easiest thing. I'm going to cut. I'm not going to talk with them anymore. You want to solve the problem? We can talk. We can resolve this. Nope. I'm not talking about it. This is really a sign of immaturity. And it is through conflict where a person's character shines through. Okay. It's easy to be nice. You're nice to me. I'm nice to you. But when a conflict arises, and it's how this person deals with the conflict, then you can see their true colors. Then you can see their true character. So some people have emotional tantrums. Emotional tantrums in that when things do not go their way, what happens? They yell, they scream, they cry. They just want to do whatever it takes in order to get their way. And this emotional tantrum is very, it's draining. It is really, it's draining other people, and it's draining yourself if you do this. And there are some people who actually, it's a strategy. It is a strategy. And I've had clients admit this to me, and that, you know, if something doesn't go my, I just yell and scream, or I make my spouse miserable, and then they do whatever I want. Right. But if you think about how dysfunctional that is, how dysfunctional that people are tiptoeing around, they're walking on eggshells, they're so afraid about you know, oh my God, I'm going to say something. She's going to crack. He's going to get angry. We're going to have an outburst. And for people to live in that state is very, very dysfunctional, and it's draining and it's stressful. Then about their judgmental. So individuals who are immature, they're very, very judgmental. It is, they see things black and white, and you're either good or you're bad. And sadly, what happens is that the more religious a person becomes, the more judgmental they become. So they start thinking, well, you know, oh, well, I do this and so-and-so doesn't. And how could you not be as good? Or what is wrong with you? And it just is the judgment is really sad. And this really breaks our, this breaks the unity in our community. So we have to be aware of not being judgmental, to being accepting. Again, it goes to people being at different stages in their iman. And when you are non-judgmental, that's the only time you can impact them. And this lack of empathy. There are some people who just simply do not care about the feelings of other people, and they will stampede their feelings, right? So it's this, because they're egocentric, they're not worried about the other person, okay? All right. So we have what is called energy vampires. These are individuals who will literally, you know, suck the energy out of you, right? And this is from Judith Orloff. She talks about like energy vampires. They sap energy out of people because of their emotional immaturity. So all those characteristics that I just said, imagine being with a person like that. Of course you're going to be drained, because it's like, it's either blaming or negativity or all of these characteristics that will get you to be very lacking in energy. The inability to handle emotion goes back to some trauma. So most of these individuals had trauma in their childhood and they never addressed it. The sad thing is, people think, you know what, it's past, I'm good, I have a good life now. But you know what, it doesn't matter how great your life is, if you have not resolved past issues, it is going to come and haunt you. You are going to have a dysfunctional household. You are going to feel a sense of like you're going to have certain problems in your life when you don't address the issues. Okay. Now, some people do it intentionally. Like I said, there are some people who will, what do they do? You know, I am going to use this person and I am going to strategically demand what I want. I'm going to withdraw my love, or I'm going to make their life hell in order to get what I want. Some people, it's all intentional. Okay. And then, but there are others who are, they do it unintentionally. Okay. Maybe some of you listening, you're like, oh my gosh, I do that. Yeah, I had a few of those characteristics. And maybe it's not like you're plotting and planning and you're not mischievous or, you know, manipulative, but you're doing this, right? So some people do it intentionally, some do it unintentionally. And those who do it intentionally, they seek their prey. They look for vulnerable people. Who are the vulnerable people? People who are just maybe really good-hearted. They're really, they go along with whatever you say. They're, they may be more quiet, soft-spoken. They won't target the strong personalities. They usually target someone who is just really good-hearted, and that's how they can take advantage. And we can, and this is a really important thing to, can you help someone with emotional immaturity? Well, we're gonna find out, right? Just see that there is a way, inshallah. And what's really important to recognize is that sometimes we can be the emotional, we could be the energy vampires. We may be that. And because we go through different stages in our lives, right? And there are times maybe you're going through a lot of problems. Maybe there's a divorce you're going through. Maybe your children are struggling. Maybe it's like a financial pressure. And you might be at that moment in time, you are having to just unload, repeatedly, right? And so that is fine. We all go through that. I know I've had stages in my life when I was really tested and I had to count on my friends and I had to unload certain things that were going on in my life, right? And as long as we try to balance it, right? So the individuals, I'm so glad. Thanks so much, Sister Holly. It's a very beneficial talk that is inviting us to self-reflection. Alhamdulillah. It's all about self-reflection on Mindful Hearts Academy, getting to know yourself, understanding, and doing the inner work. You have to do the inner work in order to cleanse your heart, because this tazkiyah that we talk about, purify your heart, purify it from anger, from animosity, jealousy. It doesn't just happen. There is a psychological component. Definitely, we can do dhikr, we can read Quran, we can pray. All of that is beautiful, and it's such an important aspect of the tazkiyah. There's also the psychological component where we have to do that internal work. And when you start understanding why you feel those things, not just saying, oh, that's bad, let's do away with it, but understanding why. Why are you jealous? Why do you have this anger? Where did it originate? How can I process it? How can I channel it? Then that tazkiyah is so profound because you're combining the psychology and the Islam together. Sister Olivia, I'm a member of Mindful Hearts Academy. MHA teaches us to live a life with purpose, live a life with congruence with our beliefs. This platform educates us to know our emotions so we can grow. Jazakallah khair and mashallah, Sister Olivia, for sharing that, because it helps to hear from the members, right? So what are signs of emotional drain? Okay. And Sister Nadia is saying, if you're enjoying this, sisters, you will really love the Mindful Hearts Academy. Jazakallah khair, Sister Nadia. Signs of emotional drain. One, it's insomnia. Now, why do people have insomnia? What ends up happening is that they are so stressed. They're always overthinking. They're replaying. They're ruminating. So they end up having insomnia. Lack of motivation, right? When you are constantly drained emotionally, you don't feel like doing anything. There's hopelessness, right? So when you are emotionally abused, what ends up happening is that there's a feeling of hopelessness. You know, a lot of people who are in abusive marriages, what ends up happening, because they've been told they're worthless and they can't do anything right, and there's so much criticism, then they just feel like they believe it and they feel like they're stuck. And then there's the constant crying, right? And there are individuals, they will tell me, like, they drop off their kids at school, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, and they cry all day long until it's time to pick them up. This is really it's draining, it's dysfunctional. I understand that sometimes people are going through so many battles all at once. It could be your marriage, it could be your kids, it could be finances, death of a family member. It's like everything falls apart at the same time, and it is overwhelming. However, I would say designate time for the crying. Designate. And that way, you're not spending your entire day just feeling sorry for yourself, because feeling sorry for yourself, what ends up happening is that you have that feeling of helplessness, right? So the constant crying, what's interesting is that tears contain a natural painkiller. Isn't that amazing? That's why, like, when you cry, you actually feel good afterwards. But we don't want to do it all day long, okay? So don't say, yeah, I'm doing it for the natural painkillers. You do it for a designated amount of time, get it out of your system, and then get back on track. Irritability. When you're completely depleted, what happens? You have no patience for anyone. You're like, oh my God, just leave me alone. You are you're drowning. And this is what I see all the time. People are drowning in their emotions. They're bleeding, emotionally bleeding, and they have no bandwidth for anyone else. And that's why they snap at their spouse, they snap at their kids, they snap at community members. So that's why it's so critical. This is such an important aspect of being a good Muslim, being a good Muslimah, because if we are not dealing with our emotions, If we don't address it, if we don't clean up the mess, if we don't stop the bleeding, how are we going to deal with others? How are we going to earn Jannah through our spouse? No way are you going to earn Jannah through your spouse if you're constantly emotionally drowning. How are you going to raise your children in an upright way at teaching them self-confidence, love of the deen, and instilling them with hope in the future if you yourself are drowning? This is what I want to ask you, like, how? It's impossible. And this is why it is so critical for us to work on ourselves. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi'anfusihim. That Allah will not change the condition of the people until they change themselves. So we have to work on ourselves. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming your kids. Stop blaming the community. It is your responsibility to clean up the emotional mess. It is your responsibility to understand yourself and to really overcome all of these complexities, all these complexes that people have. And that tazkiyah, the emotional, the tazkiyah, the spiritual tazkiyah can only come when you've actually understood what's going on, right? You can't just like say, okay, I'm not going to be jealous anymore. No more, no more anger. No, bad, bad, bad anger. No, you got to understand it. I see where the anger coming from. I see it was because I was mistreated. It's because I was neglected because of that. And we don't do it to blame our parents or blame community. It's about understanding where does this come from. And when you understand where it comes from, that's when you can address it. When you understand the reason behind your frustration, behind your insecurities, that is when you can actually say, you know what, I'm ready to tackle this. And this is what the sisters are talking about, that they have gone through this. They have learned about themselves. They've seen, they've tackled their shadows. They've known that, oh my God, I got some, whether it's skeletons in the closet, dealing with your demons, dealing with your shadows, we've all have it. And if you don't deal with it, it will come and haunt you. It will come and haunt you. So it's so critical for us to address it. So how do you deal with emotional vampires? I think someone was asking that earlier. How do we deal with it, right? First, you have to recognize. You have to recognize they leave you feeling negative, okay? So you interact with someone, and instead of feeling elated and energetic and happy, this is what should come out of an interaction, right? You feel negative. And you don't understand what's going on. They're always having a bad day. Now, all of us have bad days. All of us have trials and tribulations we go through. But if a person is in the habit of constantly having one bad day after another, then that can be problematic. Okay? Know yourself and stay grounded. When you know yourself, okay, when you know who you are, then you're not as easily affected. You're not affected by others. See yourself, okay? It's kind of like a sturdy oak tree. There are some people that they are just so impressionable, and they could be 50, 60 years old. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking just about the teenagers here. I'm talking about people who are more impressionable, and whoever they're with, they kind of like a chameleon, they keep changing, right? So you have to be kind of like an oak tree, right? And you, with your soul roots deeply grounded, okay? And when you do that, then you're not easily swayed, okay? All right. Protecting your personal space. Can we make this bigger? All right. Protecting your personal space, you know, it is definitely, it's nice to be friendly, right? But you're not obligated to be friends with everyone. And, you know, I grew up with my parents always talking about, you know, the people. And I was under the impression that you have to make everyone love you, right? And I spend a big portion of my life as a people pleaser. So I call myself a recovering people pleaser. And when you have this notion, it can take a lot of energy, right? And I remember it was in 10th grade, and one of the, a member in our community, He gave me the Quran in English, and he also said something very powerful to me. And he said, not everyone has to like you. I was like, really? I thought that was the goal. I thought, you know, that's the goal. And if you do it, you win the game. You win the game of life. And he said, not everyone has to like you. And when you take a position and you are firm on your beliefs, what ends up happening is that a lot of people will go against you. And actually, that's a sign that you have chosen a path. The people who have, like, maybe no one going against them, it's like they're kind of that chameleon, right? They change with each person. So they're not really taking a stance on anything. And it's absolutely within your rights and freedom as a human being to refuse to deal with someone who is bad for you. Some people, they may be good individuals. It's not saying that the person is bad, and we don't want to be judgmental. We don't want to go around labeling people, but maybe they're just not good for you, right? And it's not your job to fix or save people. This is a big one for those who are empaths, those who are, let's say, in the field of mental health and counseling and wanting to help. You know, there's a natural inclination, because it's really like watching someone drowning. This is how I feel, is that someone is drowning and you're a lifeguard and you just kind of walk by. You can't, you know, it's a natural inclination, but you don't have to do that, right? It's okay to choose self-preservation. You can't ever be everybody's savior, right? So we do our best. We try to help others. We're there for them, but not at the expense of losing yourself or losing your peace, okay? The types of energy vampires, all right? So here we go. The forever victim vampire. How many of you know someone who is always playing the victim role, right? Sister Olivia said, Mindful Hearts Academy is a safe place to ask. What is it? To ask for help and dua. Even though we're not together physically, we're together emotionally. This is very beneficial and non-judgmental sisterhood. That is a beautiful aspect of it. We are a global sisterhood. And everyone, because they've gone through the lessons, what's beautiful about it, everyone has done, you know, they're doing the tazkiyah. And even if you're new, you start seeing this behavior of compassion and humility and raising others and acknowledging others. And so it's just this beautiful community where people are living according to their ideal self, striving for it, right? No one is ideal, but we're striving for it. So that is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. The forever victim vampire, they use every opportunity to let the world know how unfair it is. It's unfair. That's not fair that this happened to me. Why do I have to go through this, right? And constantly complaining about one thing or another. A person like that, of course, they're going to, what? Suck the energy out of you, right? Suck the life out of you. It's all about me. This is the narcissist vampire, okay? The world always revolves around them. Like everything that is happening, they only look at it from their lens. And that kind of steals your sense of empowerment, all right? Then the intimidator vampire. So because they lack inner strength, they compensate by bossing everyone around. So you've seen people like this, sometimes in the family, sometimes within the community, right? That they just have a tendency to boss everybody around. They want to dominate the discussion. And it's this becoming drunk with power. And sometimes it can happen even within, you know, let's say volunteer organizations. They becoming drunk with power. That's why the concept of humility is so important. And looking at any leadership position as servitude, like you're serving your community. You're not bossing people around, okay? Next, the drama-loving vampire. The drama-loving vampire. These people, they thrive on chaos. Like I was explaining to you, they may have had families that were dysfunctional. There was yelling, screaming, fighting, hitting. This is what's familiar. And subconsciously, they would never admit, but subconsciously, they're recreating the environment in which they grew up with. And because they're recreating it, they are constantly causing problems, picking fights, causing tension. and they will throw tantrums or throw things. You know, these are individuals who are not emotionally stable. All right. The judgy vampire, judgy, they're judgmental about everyone. So they can, as soon as they walk into a place, they're judging the people. They meet a person, they're judging them. Like, it's like up and down. And, you know, there's a checklist. There's a checklist. We have this invisible checklist that if you admit exists, right? There are those individuals who have the, you know, they may be super religious. So they have a checklist about, oh, you know, I don't know, patterned hijab, colorful hijab, no socks, no abaya, you know, X, 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 this one's out, right? And it could be the other way around where the liberal will look at the person, oh my God, how tacky, oh, socks with shoes, never, you know, and then they're just canceling each other out. So we really need to make sure that we are not falling into this. When you can understand where emotions come from, you can change what you do. Exactly. So, and they're never pleased. So no one is ever good enough, right? And I have people complain about this all the time, whether it's the spouse saying, you know, I'm never good enough for my wife. Sometimes kids tell me, no matter what I do, like one, I remember one client came in and she was complaining about her son and said, I thought he got straight A's. She goes, yeah, he did get straight A's, but they were low A's. Right. And the kid was frustrated. He's like, Mom, nothing's good enough. What is it? Nothing is good enough because it's just being too judgmental. And they dislike themselves and the insecurity makes them feel they are not good enough. So it's interesting because whatever you see, it's kind of like projecting that. You're projecting it. They feel insecure and they feel like they're not good enough. So they expect more from their spouse, from their children, from the community, because there is that void inside of them that nothing is good enough. They're not good enough. Okay. The unknowing vampire. Okay. These are people who are unaware that they are vampires, okay? And sometimes you find that children and family members, they're so dependent and needy that they become unknowing vampires, right? So there might be a neediness. There may be this clinginess. There may be this like possessiveness and they don't even realize it, right? And they're sucking that energy out of you. And so what, okay, what if, this is the big question, what if you're the energy vampire, right? We were saying at the beginning that it is possible that maybe we are a vampire as well. We're sucking that energy. What if you're the energy vampire? So don't be too hard on yourself. I'm sure going through this, maybe you recognize that, yes, you're emotionally immature. Maybe you do some of these things. You pick fights. Maybe you're the one who's blaming or negative all the time. Well, the first thing that I like to let you know is that it's so important to recognize when you have a problem. It's so important to recognize that there is something to work on because there are some people who deny, they deny they have a problem. And that is worse than someone, that's worse because if you don't even recognize you have something to work on, you'll never work on it. Right? None of us are perfect. We all have certain issues. And like I said, our life goes through so many ups and downs. And there may be times in our lives that we are that energy vampire. We may be just overwhelmed and we do it. And like I said, it's okay as long as you try to balance it out, right? And make sure you forgive yourself. Make sure you recognize that, you know what? It's not your fault. If you did grow up in a dysfunctional household, it's not your fault. If you grew up with parents who didn't know, let's say, how to teach emotional maturity, they didn't have emotional maturity, it's not your fault. And recognizing that is very important. And hold yourself accountable, right? So you've had this lesson and you can recognize and say, you know what? Now I'm going to be more careful about this. If I was bossy before, I'm going to hold back. If I was, you know, having emotional tantrums, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay. And then, so if you think that, you know, you may be that energy vampire, realize that other people, they don't exist to just serve you, right? Many people have that mentality. It's like, oh, how can I use this person? And if they can't use them, they're not even nice to them anymore. And this is problematic. right? Because we see the character of a person according to how they treat the person who they do not need. It's easy to, you know, be kind and respectful to a person you want a job from or a person you want something from them. How do you treat the person who you have nothing to gain from? And that is a true reflection of your character, because a person with genuine good character, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he treated everyone with kindness. He treated everyone with respect. The woman who was cleaning the masjid, he treated with respect. And when she passed away, he was like, where is she? I haven't seen her. And they said, you know, she died. She died. They thought, who is she? She's a nobody. And he was sad that he didn't pray on her. And this is what was she able to do for him? He respected her, not because of her status, not because what she could do for him, not because of anything other than the fact that he had good character. And having good character means treating people with respect, whether it's the busboy or whether it's the CEO of a company. And when we embody that, we don't look down on it. And you find that in the communities, if someone needs you, they're kind, they're smiling, they are giving you their, you know, their attention. But as soon as you're no longer on the radar, they won't even return a salam. They won't even return a message. And this really reflects deeply on our character. And how are we evaluating people? Are we evaluating them as what's in it for me? And you find that most people are agenda driven. It's not akhira driven, agenda driven. You can work for me, you can serve me, I'm going to be good to you, and I'm going to return your calls, and I'm going to be right there. But if you don't serve me, you are no longer even important. And this will tell us, if we do have issues with arrogance, if we do have issues with, you know, just not doing the tazkiyah of our heart, because the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated people who had absolutely no position, no wealth, we need to aspire to be like him, inshallah. And so instead of taking advantage of others, try helping them. So it's not about, what's in it for me? I'm going to be friends with her so I can use this and they're going to help me with that. And no, it's just try to be helpful without thinking about your own gain, and stop and help others instead of complaining, right? Instead of complaining, think, how can you be part of the solution? Really, I want you to ask yourself that. How can I be part of the story? Because it's so easy to sit there on the sidelines and say, oh my God, they don't know what they're doing. Oh yeah, I mean, the series should have been like this. It should have been like that. You know what? If you have a problem with something, provide a solution. And when you start generating solution rather than complaining, then you're going to be a source of positivity. Okay, what if you're the energy vampire? Part three, right? So pour love into the people that you know and that you love. Try to be someone who fills others up, because there's enough people who drain others. Be the source of, like, you fill other people's cup, fill their cups, fill their hearts, fill them, like, make, be the reason someone feels like, you know what? Alhamdulillah, Islam is beautiful. Oh my God, alhamdulillah, there are good people in the world. Be that person. And imagine if each of us uses that and sees it as like, you know what? I'm going to be that person. I'm not going to be the one who turns my back and acts like snobby just because this person doesn't serve me anymore. No, I'm going to be the one who smiles graciously, and I'm going to tend to their needs regardless of how tired I am. Okay? Be that person. Be kind to your spouse, to the person who you live with, the people in your home. Do not waste all that energy outside and then come home completely depleted. Start from the inside out, right? So the energy should be, you put it with your family, your spouse, your kids. If you have more energy, okay, then you're capable. You're capable of giving more, right? But if you are giving all the energy, your beautiful smile, your energetic personality, you're helpful, you're amazing, to the whole community, but you come home and you're a monster. You're a monster to your spouse. You yell at your kids. You neglect your kids. Then what is the point? You are going to be held accountable for the way you treat your spouse and your kids. You're not going to be asked about, let's say, that it's an extra credit. Obviously, we all have a responsibility to contribute to the community. I'm not saying you don't have a responsibility, but you are first going to be asked about how do you treat your spouse. If a million people think you are amazing and they love you and your own spouse is hurt by you and your own spouse feels disrespected by you, what is the point of that? If your own kids feel like you are a hypocrite, what is the point of that? We have to be true to ourselves. We have to be true to our spouse and really save that energy. Right? Save that energy for first. The people who are closest to you, they should benefit the most, right? I mean, if just think about it. If everyone loves to have, let's say, that really influential or wealthy or, you know, if you're affiliated with, let's say, the CEO of a company, the king of a country. Now, imagine if their own kids or their own spouse, they don't get to benefit from their wealth. It just wouldn't make sense, right? So we need to start with ourselves and with our family members, inshallah. Okay? Anybody who wishes to change the world must first go home and love their family. Isn't that beautiful? This is exactly, I mean, perfect timing because I just finished talking about that. And we really have to focus on them and share and spread that love. The best of you is the one who is best to his wife. So if we prioritize that, it's so critical, and protect yourself and others from emotional bleeding. Okay? So this is very critical information. As I told you, we can take the PowerPoint off. Thank you so much. So imagine if each person works on themselves, does the internal work, stops the emotional bleeding. They stop being an emotional vampire, energy vampire. And we start working on ourselves. How amazing would our relationships be? How amazing would our communities be? So I want to help you. I want to help you achieve this, because I know that in this one lesson, it may be overwhelming. There's a lot of information. I love giving a lot of content, because I just feel that being able to change someone, change their personality, or improve their life, that gives me a lot of satisfaction. Alhamdulillah, nothing compares to it. So if you allow me to help you in this process, so we have, the way this came about is because so many people wanted to do sessions with me, which I'm so grateful for having that opportunity to do it, but I'm not able to do it with everyone. And many people are not able to, let's say, afford doing the counseling. And I said, I want an alternative. I want to be able to provide content that will change people's lives, but at it's affordable. And I can, reach more people. And this is where the Mindful Hearts Academy came from. It came from just the bottom of my heart. My husband and I have been passionate about this. It's been the past 2 years, and it is the most, it's comprehensive way of self-development where it combines psychology and Islam. And, a lot of self-development programs, first of all, I mean, I've done many of them, and they cost thousands of dollars. Each program is like thousands of dollars. And I felt that this is a revolution, right? It's a revolution in wanting people to get self-development at a very affordable cost, because I felt shouldn't be exclusive for the wealthy, right? Self-development should not be exclusive for the wealthy. And so this is where it came from. Sister Olivia, mashallah, very beneficial discussion. It will help us to improve our relations with our spouse, kids, and others. Alhamdulillah. It really is. It's something I'm very passionate about. And you will get, it is basically nine phases. Each phase has about 7 to 10 lessons. And imagine, it's about being the best version of yourself, knowing your mind and knowing how to manage it so that you could be the absolute best. Emotional intelligence, there's mindfulness, there's happiness, how to be happy. Like, there's a whole science behind that, and spirituality and reaching your goals. So it really, the aim is to be the absolute best version of yourself. So I can't think of a better Eid gift for yourself than getting, you know, a subscription. It is, you know, monthly, or you could get annually. And it's as low as $100 a year. I mean, this is how affordable I've made it, just so that everyone can benefit. And mashallah, as you've heard from the sisters who are on there, how to enroll. Okay, so can we put the link to enroll? You can get the annual membership. And what you will have is access to all the lessons. This is one of the lessons. So if you like this, if you benefit it, if you feel like, oh, wow, I can learn a lot from this, then every lesson is like this. Alhamdulillah, you know, it has been my passion. Sorry, I have no... This is why my alarm didn't go off this morning. It was at 1:30 p.m., but I did get up, alhamdulillah. But I was wondering, what the heck happened with that alarm? So the thing is that you will have access to all of the lessons. And then I do live lessons every Thursday, right? So every Thursday is a live lesson, but you can take it at your own pace. And that's why it's so powerful and so easy, because if you join, let's say you join with a friend, you join with a sister, this is the best way to go about it, because, like, hey, let's change together. It's always good. I know when I was doing my paleo diet, I got on with a bunch of my buddies. And when you do that, you feel the sense of like, okay, we're in it together. So if you know of anyone that could benefit from this, it would make a great Eid present, like I said, for yourself, for a mother, for your sister, for your best friend. And that way you go on this journey of self-development together and you improve. And I can take any questions right now that you may have. I believe there were some questions that were popping up. Okay, this is my second marriage. I think we do not go out to dinner dates, or he's not intimate with me. Okay, so what is the question? I will divorce him. All right, well, I would recommend, before you divorce him, is, you know, because not going out on a date, maybe that doesn't call for divorce. You need to understand what's going on. And I would recommend maybe going through a marriage program, getting some help before you call it quits. I tell all my clients, before you call it quits, just give it one last try. We do have my marriage program, the 5 pillars of marriage. We can offer it at a discounted rate if you can put that link. I mean, don't get a divorce because you don't go on dinner dates. Most people that are married don't go on dinner dates. And I don't want you to rush into it. It may have other aspects. There may be some, like, maybe emotional abuse, maybe something. But what I would recommend is just give it one last try and see if you're able to salvage it. And I make a bold statement that you can be the one who can save the marriage, even if you're the only one working on it, because I've seen it. Can 13 and a half year old girl also enroll for your program, me and my daughter? Absolutely. Absolutely, you can. I think mother-daughter team would be excellent, because you can discuss it. So many powerful lessons that, if, you know, the younger, when, like, let's say they learn it as a teenager, you can avoid feelings of inadequacy, the insecurities. You could, you know, when someone has self-esteem, and this is what I'm really grateful for, my parents instilled self-esteem in me. And even though I went to public schools, even though I was extremely, like, involved and assimilated into our schools, very active, and I did not feel compelled to any peer pressure. I didn't. Although everyone around me, drinking, dating, yeah, the list goes on and on. But because I felt good about who I was, and I felt strong and confident, it kept me from all the different haram avenues. And I didn't feel like I have to do anything to fit in. And so if you can instill self-confidence, self-esteem in your kids, it will protect them from so many harmful things. So you can learn it. Sister Noor is saying, Salaam alaikum, no question, just grateful for you. Jazakallah khair. Wayaki. So let me know, when can we apply for five pillars of marriage? If we can put the link now, you can get it now and make it your intention. Look, right now you are on an emotional high, right? Well, emotional, spiritual, we should say. Spiritual high, inshallah, emotionally as well. And right now you can make a commitment to work on your marriage, work on your relationships, you know, make that personal commitment. Say, you know what? I am going to work on this. And it's like anything, you guys. If you neglect your body, if you overeat and you don't exercise, it's going to show. And the same thing, if you work on your marriage and you make it a priority, it will start showing. You'll start feeling more love. Sister Fatima saying, Salaam alaikum, dear sister. I just can't stop watching your videos. May Allah protect your heart and reward you. Jazakallah khairan. Alhamdulillah. This is, you know, it's a labor of love. We really, my husband and I, Abdulmajid, can you come? you have to meet my husband, because honestly, are you coming? Yeah. Okay. You want to pull up a chair? I really couldn't do it without Abdulmajid. Let me see if I can. Hold on. Let's get two of the white chairs. I don't want to. Okay. Can you pull up?
Yeah.
All right. This is totally impromptu, as you can see. Come on over. Okay. All right. This is my husband, Abdulmajid. Okay. And
they can't hear us.
They can't?
Yeah, if you push it away.
I just don't want that thing to show.
I think it's better than they hear us.
I'm all about looks. It doesn't look pretty. Can we do it another way? How about like this? There. They can hear. Okay. So I just want you to know that I couldn't have done any of this without, you know, the hard work. I mean, Abdulmajid, mashallah, has been editing behind the scenes. I mean, I can't even begin to explain the hours and hours that he has put into making this possible. So I'm just very grateful for the hard work and effort that, you know, that Abdulmajid has been putting into this. And none of the things that I do online would be possible without his support, without his effort. And so really, show some love.
Subhanallah. You know, it is one of the best missions is to support you and your goals, because you change so many lives and you help so many people. And it's really quite important to put your thoughts and your methods out there, because people really make changes in their life. And, you know, I'm really happy. It's a pleasure, subhanAllah. Just seeing the feedback from people and the changes that they've made in their life, you know, this is subhanAllah.
It's fulfilling, right? Yeah. That's why we do it year after year. Alhamdulillah, this has been the third year. Someone was asking about men like this, not many, subhanAllah. May Allah protect your marriage and children. Jazakallah khairan. Someone said they wanted to
Allahumma
ask.
Barik.
Allahumma barik. That is the
If you story. Want to protect people from your eye, because even a loving mother can hit her child with her eye if she's not careful. You have to say Allahumma barik, barakallah. Ask for barakah and protection. You know, and please ask for barakah in our marriage and in our life, because we're working for you. And what we have is really important to share and give and help people as much as possible. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant each one of you a loving, beautiful relationship with your spouses and your children and your families and your parents and your in-laws.
Someone is asking, okay, is it possible to have a program with you, sis? Can I have your contact? A program? Well, the program is the Mindful Hearts Academy. If you come join the program, then we will be meeting weekly. And really, anyone who becomes a part of the Mindful Hearts, it's really interesting, because I was at I was doing Qiyam, and one sister was sitting next to me, and she said, You know, I just smiled. I gave salams. And then she told me she's part of the Mindful Hearts Academy. And I'm like, oh, you know, I feel like I saw family, right? It's like family I haven't met before. And it's this instant connection because we feel like we're on the same
wavelength. No,
same wavelength, right. Right. I thought there was like a hidden, oh my God, there goes that alarm. Now I know why I didn't wake up. It was at PM. Okay. That's so funny. All right. Someone else asked about the Five Pillars of Marriage program. I saw there was a question that came up. It's an online course. Okay. And it is short online lessons with exercises. And even if you go through it alone without your spouse, you're able to save your marriage. And alhamdulillah, thousands of people have gone through it already. And, you know, they always come up to me and like, you see, you know, you saved our marriage. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
What did you want to say about?
Well, I mean, the five pillars of marriage really is based on an incredible amount of research and
25
and,
years.
Yeah. And work. She has done work. I see her every day. I mean, she works sometimes with 10 couples a day and, you know, and finishing. Helping people in record time. And obviously she can't help everybody. So we decided to make the program. So it's basically giving you the same amount of information you would get when you come to Hala. Obviously
6 months, months of therapy.
Because I mean, with counseling, marriage counseling, it's not just the counseling part.
It's 80% education, 20%
intervention.
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask, do you have a khutbah today? Okay, just, I just didn't want to miss it.
We're live.
I know we're live, but I just want to know
all right.
if my son has a khutbah. All right.
So
the 80% is education, 20% is intervention. So the 80% education, yeah, you could do it in the sessions with me, but it will cost thousands of dollars for 6 months of therapy. But this,
and then,
you can do it on your own.
You know, sometimes you do need the intervention. It's very hard to do it completely alone. So a lot of times what people do is they do a combination. And if you really dedicate yourself to the program and you commit yourself to it, I mean, the worst situations have overcome using the five pillars of marriage alone without the intervention because the tools are so powerful. And
that's what we apply.
Yeah,
sometimes people ask us like, well, how do you have early? Because we've been married, mashallah, tabaraka, Allahumma barak, for 25 years. We have three adult children, ages 22, 19, and 17. We've lived in three different countries. We faced so many challenges.
You know, we speak different languages.
Two different countries.
Someone
thought we're Moroccan. Who thought Moroccan last name? I think I have the Moroccan last name.
Yeah, but she's not Moroccan.
I'm not Moroccan.
She's of Persian background, Sunni, mashallah, da'iyah, with lots of endorsements from Sunni scholars, alhamdulillah. The fact of the matter is, the five pillars of marriage walks you step by step through the program. And I don't want to turn it away because it's really about the Mindful Hearts Academy and making changes.
Well, because someone was like about to
get a divorce.
Divorce.
So without going into much detail, what I love about it, and I help so many of my friends in the masjid and so many men, just simply giving them a simple outline changes their life. So imagine when you get all the tools, you know, and you know, I'm dangerous. I think I'm a therapist too after 25 years of being.
He's my therapist, alhamdulillah. So jazakallah khair, and you know, everyone for joining in. Sister Noor is saying I've been here for 3 years now on the Mindful Ramadan, right? Mindful Ramadan or Mindful Hearts. So if you have any other questions, we'll be happy
Sister
to answer.
Olivia, jazakallah khair for your nice words. You're always on first. You're always active.
Mashallah. We appreciate and Sister Alicia.
Alicia, you got this. Mashallah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been, it's been such a pleasure. We're so happy to have served the community. If you missed on any of the lessons, just make sure, do we have the link of like the sign up so they get the emails and the replay?
Yeah.
Do you know how to
get that? It's Hala Banani here.
He knows all the technical side. So in case you're just on and you haven't signed up, it's not too late to sign up, even though Ramadan is over. But just
the lessons are long, are lifelong lessons.
Right, lifelong lessons. Did you send it? Okay. And then can you grab the workbook, please?
Sure.
I just want you to watch all of them because they're really, really powerful lessons. And if you missed any, just after Ramadan, I know it's like there's so many programs I wanted to watch and I didn't get a chance to. So after Ramadan, after you take a breather, watch them. Even if it's like once a week, you'll really benefit. And we have this amazing, beautiful workbook for free. The volunteers have done a beautiful job in capturing like the highlights. Remember Ustad Muhammad Bajour and his quotes, right? You have the quotes, you have the highlights of every speaker that was here. I want you to benefit. You can either print it. See, I liked it. I thought it was pretty. And or you can just have it online, inshallah. Any other questions? So lucky to have your husband as your therapist. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alamin. Allahumma barik. Yeah. Jazakallah khairan, everyone. May Allah bless all of your relationships, all that you are praying for. May Allah accept. Why don't you do a dua for us, inshallah?
Bismillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan katiran. نحمدك يا رب ونستعينك اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا آمين. وتب علينا اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين ارفع درجاتنا اللهم تب علينا اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا آمين. يا الله يا الله يا كريم أسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العليا وباسمك الأعظم الذي إذا دعيت به أجبت يا الله يا حنان يا منان يا الله يا كريم يا رحمن يا الله لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم يا ودود يا ودود يا ذا العرش المجيد اجعل المودة بيننا يا الله put love between all of us اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. Oh Allah, guide us to what you love and what makes you pleased. يا الله باعد بيننا وبين معاصينا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. يا الله, distance us from our sins like you have distanced the rising of the sun and its setting. يا الله. يا الله. تب علينا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us and accept our repentance. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, guide our children. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, guide our progeny. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, and make us understand the Quran the way that will make you happy. Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Give us the understanding of the Prophet Muhammad and Salaam. The Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the implementation of the Quran in our life. Mm-hmm. Ya Allah, help us memorize the Quran and remember what Ameen. We have forgotten. Ya Allah, guide us. Ya Allah, guide us. Ameen. Ya Allah, guide us. Ya Allah, give us beneficial knowledge. Ameen. Ya Allah, give us beneficial knowledge. Ameen. Ya Allah, ya Wadud, ya Arham al-Rahimin. Birahmatika nasta'een. Ya Allah, we seek your rahmah, ya Allah. If you do not forgive us, then there is no hope for us. Ya Allah, ya Kareem, enter us into the highest level of Jannah with those that we love. Ya Allah, shade us on the shade, on the day that there's no shade but your throne, ya Allah. The shade of those who love each other for Allah's sake. Ya Allah, we love everybody who is listening to us and all the Muslims. Ya Allah, make us love one another for your sake and provide us the shade. Ya Allah, give us a drink from the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his beautiful hand. Ya Allah, صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Before I forget, ya Allah, ya Allah, help our brothers and sisters in Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, help our brothers and sisters in Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, help our brothers and sisters everywhere. Ya Allah, feed the hungry amongst us. Ya Allah, shelter the homeless amongst us. Ya Allah, provide protection for all the Muslims all over the world. Ya Allah, guide our daughters. Ya Allah, guide our children. And Ya Allah,
give izzah to Islam everywhere it is. Wa sallallahumma ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
MashaAllah, that was a beautiful, comprehensive dua. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you, everyone, for your love, for your support. We've enjoyed doing a mindful Ramadan, and we're already talking about mindful Ramadan 2023. And this one's not even finished yet, but Jazakallah khairan. Make sure that you get all the the episodes, watch all the episodes, get your workbook for free, and inshallah we'll see you. Sister Noor is saying every year, let's see, what is that? Every year we have to sign up for Mindful Ramadan. I would join your live sessions occasionally. SubhanAllah and Allahumma Ameen. Barakallahu Fikum. I met you, Sister Hala, at Houston Convention, TDC. You are as sweet as you are online. Oh, Jazakallah khairan. We're so happy that you've been joining each year. And inshallah, we get to have maybe a conference and all meet together. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for joining us.
I pray everybody has Ramadan is accepted. Barakallahu feekum. And I guess today is the final lesson, or tomorrow is the final
lesson. See. I mean, today is Friday, yeah, so it's the final lesson. Yeah, bye, you guys. Salaam alaikum.